the great Kahan, Levi Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Praise Yahweh. Please be seated. The topic that I would like to discuss today is dealing with overcoming the desire to sin, avoiding the pleasures of this world. So that's really the title of the sermon, Overcome the Desire to Sin by Avoiding the Pleasures of this World. And there is a lot of information to it. There's a lot of things that Pastor has taught us over the years about how to really overcome the desire to sin. But bear in mind that this desire to sin is something that is done under the influence of Satan, the adversary, and in the world that we live in today, that desire abounds. But let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we shall read verses 1 to 4, because it describes the condition of mankind in this time period that we're living in, which is known as the last days. So if you turn to 2 Timothy, found on page 938 in the book of Yahweh, or 2 Timothy, reading from verses 1 to 4, it says, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, without a truce, unforgiving, false accusers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of those who are righteous, traitors, betrayers, headstrong, arrogant, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Yahweh." And this is really what we have to focus on today, is that we don't fall into that category where we love pleasure more than Yahweh. I'd like to read those same verses from the Amplified Bible because it really gives a very colorful rendition of those verses. It adds a lot of details, and it really paints a picture of the mindset of mankind in this time period that we're living in today. So reading 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 from the Amplified Bible, it says, "But understand this, that in the last days will come sudden, perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear." And you could see with the recent events that has taken place with the hurricane that is listed as a superstorm, with the drought, with the famine, with the diseases, the epidemics, the wars, the rumors of wars, all of that contributes to this perilous time that we're living in, which is, for many, it is hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people, and this is what is causing this. So you see, verse 1 describes what we will have, but then from verses 2 onward, it shows what is the cause of it. "For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money, and aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of those who are righteous. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of Yahweh." Lovers of sensual pleasure, pleasing the senses, vain amusements, lovers of entertainment, the entertainment that this world has to offer, more than lovers of Yahweh. And really, this is really You know, that particular verse is really directed to us in the house of Yahweh, because we are the only ones who really have the choice as to whether we will serve Yahweh or whether we would serve Satan. As for the rest of the world, they are deceived. You know, Satan already has them. So they don't really have that distinction as whether they're going to love Yahweh more than this world. It's only us in the house of Yahweh that can make that choice. Only us can choose to love Yahweh more than this world. So this is really talking to us when it talks about lovers of pleasure more than Yahweh. Lovers of pleasure more than Yahweh. Now, in the pursuit of this pleasure, you know, the world, in the pursuit of this pleasure, instead of the laws of Yahweh, the curses abound. And this Prophetic Word magazine, this recent Prophetic Word magazine, dealing with global warming, we could see what the pursuit of mankind's pleasure has brought, the pursuit of their lust, their unlawful desires. It all culminates in what we see going on in the world today, especially with the weather and the destruction that is being caused, the suffering that is being brought upon many people. But it starts off with seeking after pleasure, pleasure-seeking, seeking after pleasure. Well, let's look at this word lust, because this is really what people follow. They follow after their lust. And lust of itself, it is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, if we didn't have it, then we wouldn't be the way Yahweh created us to be. It's a necessary thing, but it's something that has to be guided, and it's something that has to be controlled. Now, lust is an emotion. This is taken from the Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia. It says, lust is an emotion or feeling of intense desire in the body. And I want you to take note of certain words here, one of them being desire. So it's a feeling of intense desire in the body. The lust can take any form, such as the lust for knowledge, which would be a righteous lust if you're lusting after the knowledge of Yahweh, the lust for sex, or the lust for power. It can take such mundane forms as the lust for food, as a distinct from the need for food. Lust is a powerful psychological force producing intense wanting for an object. And keep note of those two things. It's a psychological force, which means it has the ability to affect the mind. So this emotion has an ability to affect the mind, but not just in a simple way. It's a very powerful psychological force. So it can affect the mind in a very, very powerful way, producing intense wanting for an object or circumstance fulfilling the emotion. So this is the definition of lust. But why would you lust after something? You know, why would you have that intense wanting after an object or a certain circumstance? The reason is, in following after lust, it produces pleasure. And that would be the reason why a person would go after what they lust, because it's the end result. They're looking for the pleasure that it produces. Now, this word desire, according to Wikipedia again, it says desire is a sense of longing for a person or object, or hoping for an outcome. And notice what it is. You're longing for something, a person, an object, a circumstance. Desire is the fire that sets action aflame. So this really gets into the key about it, is that once you begin longing after something, once you begin desiring after something, then that's the key towards acting upon whatever you're desiring or whatever you're lusting after. The same sense is expressed by emotions such as craving or hankering. When a person desires something or someone, their sense of longing is excited by the enjoyment or the thought of the item or person, and they want to take actions to obtain their goal. So once you set your heart or your mind or your desires upon something, then the natural course of actions is to start to do something to attain it. Furthermore, it says the motivational aspect of desire has been long noted by philosophers. And then it has an individual here asserted that human desire is the fundamental motivation of all human action. And that's true. It's because of our desires, that's what really causes us to act in so many different areas of our lives, whether it's in work, family life, whatever we do, your desires is what really pushes you, motivates you to do certain things. So that's why I said that it's necessary to have it. But the thing about it is the pursuit of this, in the pursuit of this intense desire, this is where we have to be careful, because the goal of pursuing lust is to bring pleasure, satisfaction, gratification, joy, delight. You know, that's the reason why you pursue your lust, because these are the things that you're seeking after. You know, you're seeking after pleasure, you're seeking after joy, you want to be gratified, you want to be satisfied, whatever it is that you're lusting after. But what we have to be mindful of is what Yahweh tells us to lust after and where we should put our heart's desire. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Because Yahweh really shows us that there are certain things that, yes, a person could lust after, that is perfectly fine and acceptable, that wouldn't lead to global warming. And there are other things that a person definitely shouldn't lust after under any circumstances whatsoever, because it would lead to global warming. And global warming is not even the worst of what following illegal lust is going to lead to. You know, we are yet, you know, people who are living in the affected areas of this storm, this super hurricane, they're probably thinking, especially the ones who got their houses destroyed and their homes destroyed, the ones who have gone a week without electricity, living in those high-rise apartments and they can't flush their toilets and so forth, they're probably thinking, man, this is great tribulation. You know, my cell phone is not working, I can't watch the television, and I can't see the movies. You know, they're really thinking life probably sucks about this particular time. But that's not the worst to come. You know, really and truly, that's not really the worst to come. And this global warming, if you look at it, and you change that M to an N, it's really a global warning. It's a global warning that is being given by the last day's anointed witness. Because there's more to come prophetically. This is really just the tip of the iceberg. Because if the people don't repent of their sins, the next thing to come is going to be the nuclear destruction. And that's really going to take the cake. If something that they are suffering now, they really haven't seen anything yet. But this is what following illegal lust leads to. You know, and this is what we are told to avoid. But in order to define what lust is, what is proper to lust after, and what is not proper to lust after, you have to look to the laws of Yahweh. So reading Romans chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "What? Can anyone therefore say that the law is sin? By no means. But to the contrary, I did not know sin, transgression of the law, except through the law. For I did not know lust unless the law has said, do not covet." Do not covet. And that's really the foundation right there, do not covet. And now one thing I like to add, I know sometimes, you know, when we talk about illegal lust, you know, we may think about men lusting, but women lust too. You know, so I want everyone to bear this in mind. This is not really the particular feel of any particular gender. Everybody has lust. And everybody could lust after things which are unlawful or illegal. So the law applies equally to everyone. The law said, do not covet. But sin taking opportunity through the commandments produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And let's look at the foundation of the law itself, what Yahweh stated and the command that he gave. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and reading verse 21, found on page 151 in the book of Yahweh. It says, "You shall not covet, lust after your neighbor's house." Let me reread that again. "You shall not lust after your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet your brother's house, his field, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your brother, or anything that belongs to your brother. Why? Because if you start desiring something that belongs to someone else, it starts producing a strong psychological force in your mind, and then you will begin to take action to acquire whatever it is. But Yahweh tells us very plainly, he says there are certain things that you should just not covet at all. At all. For no reason whatsoever. And he begins with, you shall not lust after your neighbor's wife. Now this word covet here in verse 21, it is word number 2530, and it means to delighten. Again, so it means to desire, covet, take pleasure in, delight in. So this is talking about taking delight in something that you don't have any permission, any authority, any reason to, and Yahweh state that very plainly that you should not do this. You shall not covet your brother's house. This word covet here, it comes from a different Hebrew word, and it means to wish for. Covet greatly, desire, be desirous, long, lust after. It means to desire, incline, covet, wait longingly, wish, sigh, want, be greedy, and prefer. So all of this is covered by this word covet here. When it talks about you shall not covet your brother's house, his field, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your brother. So it's showing that when you fully apply this, it's really telling you that you should be satisfied with what you have. Whatever it is, whatever Yahweh has blessed you with, you should be satisfied, fully satisfied with it. If not, you place yourself in danger of breaking this law, because that dissatisfaction is going to lead to illegal desires being built in you, and you will pursue those desires because the thinking is, if I could only have this, then I'll be pleased. Then I'll be joyful. Then I'll find satisfaction. This will be a delight for me. But Yahweh says, no, if you do these things, it will bring you death, which is the ultimate end result of following illegal lust. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Because Yahweh tells us that the desires that we have, especially the desire to sin, is something that we have to overcome. And remember again that it's a strong psychological force. And these things are used by Satan and the system that Satan has brought forward, the institutes of Nimrod, to get people to do things that they really, under any circumstances, should not be doing. But remember this desire, you know, this desire is a sense of longing that is excited by the enjoyment or the thought of the item or person, and they want to take actions to obtain their goal. In verse 7, we read in Genesis chapter 4, if you do righteousness, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do righteousness, sin is crouching at your door. The desire to sin is with you, but you must overcome it. The desire to sin is with you. So this is a essential understanding that we must have. Yes, the way everything, you know, Yahweh has allowed everything to take place where we have to overcome that desire to sin. The thinking is, if we can fulfill our desire to sin, it will bring us pleasure. It will bring us joy. It will bring us peace. Through the scriptures, we know that fulfilling our desires to sin brings the very opposite of what we're really seeking. It brings misery. It brings harm. It brings destruction. It brings curses. And we are seeing that today because of the world following the desires to sin. You know, the global warming is just part of it. You know, that's the ultimate result of following our desires to sin. And that's why we are told you have to overcome that desire to sin. Well, what developed that desire to sin? Look at Genesis chapter 3. Because ultimately, you wouldn't really desire to do something that is going to bring you harm unless you are deceived into thinking that the pursuit of this is going to be risk-free. I'm not going to suffer any harm. I'm not going to suffer any illness. I'm going to be okay. I could fulfill my illegal lust, but nothing is going to occur to me. So look at Genesis chapter 3, because here we see the beginning or the fomenting of this desire. Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made, and said to the woman, "Has Yahweh indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, or you will die,'" or dying you will die. And this is explained also in the Prophetic Word magazine. But notice the boundaries that Yahweh placed around it. He gave very clear instructions. He says, don't touch it, don't eat it, have nothing to do with this mixture of righteousness and evil, otherwise dying you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." So this is the lie that was told right here. And from that point onward, the rest of mankind has fallen for this lie that yes, they could partake of this evil, but they will not die. Verse 5, "For he knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be as gods, knowing righteousness and evil." So here Satan is presenting something for Eve to desire besides what Yahweh has presented. So you can see a desire was being created, an illegal lust basically was being created in Eve for something that Yahweh said don't have anything to do with. But notice the process in verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was desirable for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes," and this word pleasant, it's talking about a longing started to build for this, a desire started to build for it, by implication, a delight, a satisfaction, to be desired or to take delight in. So this is what started building because of what Satan was putting there. You see, it took Satan to put something there combined with a lie in order to cause mankind to go after it. And this is really what you're seeing here. So there was some thinking that was going on. A building of an illegal lust started, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. In other words, because of that strong psychological force, she acted on it. She acted on her desires. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. You know, and this is what we see in the world today. The world of following Satan, as Revelation 12:9 shows, the entire world is deceived. They have accepted that lie. They're pursuing their illegal lust. The lust is bringing the curses upon them. And yes, they're dying. They're dying from the curses. They're dying from the diseases. They're dying from the sicknesses. The earth itself is dying, fading away, as the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 24. These are the things that we are seeing before our very eyes. And as Yahweh prophesied that, yes, we will see these things, but where did it start? Where did it start? It started off again with the desire. Where we place our hearts and minds, what we are considering, what we are looking at, you know, what we are putting in front of us. And this is really getting back to where we started in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, talking about the lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of Yahweh. I don't really have time to get into the other aspect of this sermon. It's really more like a two-part sermon, but you know, the temptation that Satan places in front of us, you know, no one could really make us sin in any fashion. No one can make us sin. It's our own desires, it's what we want that leads us into sin, that propels us into sin. You know, if you desire entertainment, and you think that entertainment is really pleasing and joyous and so forth, yes, you are going to watch television. regardless of how many sermons are preached against it, you will do it because that's what you want. If you want, you know, if you desire playing video games, it doesn't really matter how many sermons are preached against it, you're going to do it because that's what you want. If you want to look at the television shows, you want to play on the internet, you want to look at pornography, it doesn't really matter how many sermons are given, you're going to do it because that's what you want. If you desire to drink alcohol, use illegal drugs, it doesn't matter what is said, you are going to pursue it because that is what you want. You know, if you desire fornication, adultery, bestiality, sodomy, it doesn't matter what is said up here, you are going to do it because that is what you want. If you really desire to overcome illegal lust, you have to change your desires. You have to change what you want. It's really that simple. You have to change what you want. You have to change what you're putting in front of you also. You know, there's so much to it, the psychology of it. You know, and that's why from the scriptures we are taught not to look at certain things, because if you put it in front of you, you are going to desire it. You know, and this is really especially, you know, as parents, we really have to be very careful of what we are putting in front of our children. Whether we are doing it deliberately or because of us fulfilling our own unlawful desires, what we are putting in front of our children is going to affect them, regardless of what we say or may tell them, you know, don't do this, don't do that. But if we are partaking of the sins of the world, that's what we are teaching them because that's what we are setting in front of them. And you may tell them, well, look, you go to your room and you sit down in the living room watching the television and etc. Well, they know that's something desirable because that's what you are doing. And you're training them to follow after the same illegal desires. You know, and there's a lot that could be said concerning this, but let's turn to Jacob chapter 4, because ultimately, following the ways of this world is going to lead to death. We have seen it in the world, but it's going to lead to death for any member of the house of Yahweh. Yes, you follow after illegal lust in any form, in any fashion, dying, you will die. There's really no ambiguity in the scriptures concerning this. There's no confusion. It's really, really clear. Very, very clear. Crystal clear. Let's turn to Jacob chapter 4 and read from verse 1. And it said, what causes wars and fighting among you? Is it not from this, from your lust, that battle in your members? Not just the wars. I know we think about the physical fighting, but what causes the unrest within ourselves, the dissatisfaction, the discontentment, not being satisfied with what, you know, whatever position that we are in, whether financially, physically, or whatever? What really causes this? Is it not the lust that battle in your members? And it's talking again about our desires, what we are desiring, what we are setting in front of ourselves. You lust but do not have. You murder and covet but cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask but do not receive because you ask with wrong purposes, in order that you may spend it on your own lust, your own pleasures. And if our pleasures are illegal and unlawful, Yahweh is not going to reward it. It's really just that simple. Yahweh is not going to give in to illegal lust. He is not going to reward our illegal lust. You know, he's not going to satisfy it in any way, any form, any fashion. You adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? Why? Because the whole world belongs to Satan at this time. The entire world is deceived. All forms of worldly entertainment is devil worship. It's really that simple. All. No exception. All. Because it's inspired by Satan. And it's designed for one purpose alone, which is to lead us astray from the worship of Yahweh. That's the intent of it. And once we are not following Yahweh, you know, the end result is going to be death. You adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? Therefore, whoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of Yahweh. The pleasures that you're seeking, what you're doing with your so-called spare time. And the reason I say so-called spare time, really and truly, no one should have any spare time in the house of Yahweh. You know, you should be moving from one activity to the next. You know, you shouldn't really have any kind of a downtime to where you could just fill the void with pleasure seeking or entertainment of this world. There shouldn't be any empty spots in your life to begin with. You know, there's so much to do in the house of Yahweh, so much to learn, so much righteousness we could fill our minds with. Really, there shouldn't be any vacant spots. For the last scripture, turn to 1 Yochanan chapter 15, chapter 1, verse 15. 2 Yochanan, pardon me. Turn to 2 Yochanan chapter 1, verse 15. Chapter 2 Yochanan, verse 15. Reading from verse 15, 1 Yochanan chapter 2, verse 15. There we go. Do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. No, we cannot serve Yahweh and follow our desires, our pleasures that are illegal. For all that is in the world, now pay close attention to this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away with the lust that is in it, but he who does the will of Yahweh abides forever. So may Yahweh bless the understanding. I'll ask everyone to please stand. And I'll turn lectern over to the great Kohan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins! Shalom, everyone!
You are looking great! One more time.
There we go.
There is Yahweh. You may be seated. There's a group that may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. There's a more and more groups of scientists now that's getting in on the test of these microorganisms, the firmament that they call the atmosphere, and of course they're all finding out what we told them they would. Which is great. This is wonderful. I have an article here right now. Says it's raining microbes, and this was put out September the 13th, 2011. It says there has been recent reports. Now these are coming from scientists, of course, that are seeking grants to conduct these tests, and of course they have to have equipment to do so, you know, the best technology they have, and then they will miss parts of it, but they will get to the point to where they'll see that what Yahweh says in the Holy Scriptures is actually the way it is. And this is what's important. There have been recent reports that airborne bacteria play an important role in atmospheric development. Bacteria can serve as nucleating sites, gathering together, you know, to do a job, and lead to the formation of rain and hail. Some microbes also mobilize organic pollutants, including formaldehyde, acetate and oxalate. In other words, they're cleaning up. They were made to clean the firmament and to keep a healthy atmosphere for the bacteria that's doing their jobs for mankind, for that kingdom of microorganisms that we wrote about and years ago, started bringing this out years ago, that we're hurting the atmosphere, not through the burning of wood or coal or oil or anything like that, but sins. Sin is what's causing it. Burning wood and coal and oil is not sin. And of course, if you want to know the real truth about global warming, all of you out there, write, call, email. We'll give it to you free. Praise Yahweh. The nucleating effects of microbes has been documented by several groups now, and it names a bunch of them. These teams independently isolated nucleating bacteria from rain and snow and species. A French team has similarly said, see, this is going global now as the interest arises, and they're thinking they, you know, can find some way to solve these problems we're having if they can get enough information on the firmament and what's causing drought and of course what we just saw, this Hurricane Sandy that has over 1,000 miles wide and you know, the destruction that is caused. They're saying it's about up to $70 billion now in damage that this storm has done. And this is waking people up. They're seeing that this is not ordinary, as you just saw on the documentaries. And of course, these people are out there trying to get grants and criticizing the government because they're lax and wanting to issue money for it, but they will. They will get it. Maybe at least they will get enough to start looking into the scriptures along with their microscopes. If plant pathogens. Now, this is a question that arises, as you saw too in this documentary, I noticed, if plant pathogens and soil particles can travel across continents and can play a role in the formation of rain and hail, the potential for dispersion of disease-causing microbes could follow a similar path. Now add that, please, please add this disease-causing microorganisms to the fact that they can also latch on to the bacteria that's keeping the firmament clean, that's forming the rain. They can latch on to these bacteria, which was designed to do a certain job. They can rape those bacteria, and out comes mutations that are incapable of doing the jobs of causing rain to fall like it's supposed to. And also increased the energy that we know every drop of salt water contains. There's enough energy in every drop of salt water to form a hurricane. Just one drop. Now that's the energy that we're playing with out there. And the microorganisms are what control this, every bit of it. They should have, if they can see that these have the potential of dispersion of disease-causing microbes could follow a similar path. And they're doing it. But you're overlooking what these deadly microbes that we have created, such as AIDS. AIDS is a rapist that rapes everything it gets in contact with. Now, the scientists know that. If you would just wake up and see what it's doing when it's floating around in the atmosphere, it's raping every microorganism that was designed to work for you. It's causing that microorganism to help produce vicious Sandy hurricanes. How quickly are these populations refreshed? Well, that's what I told you months ago, that the firmament is working hard. Yahweh did make the firmament to take care of itself. Under normal or original circumstances. But we have poisoned the firmament, we've poisoned the earth, we've poisoned the atmosphere, and of course they can't take care of it like they're supposed to. And this is what's got the firmament totally out of kelter, and this is what the scripture shows. But remember, it's caused by sin. Sin. Write to us, email us, and we will show you the sins that mankind is committing due to the efforts of the Catholic Church. Yes, the Catholic Church said, let your daughters, young daughters, they tell them 12, 9, 10, 11, 12, go out and experience fornication with boys, wind up murdering babies. Those that you don't want to murder, bring them to the Catholic Church, and they'll put them in the orphanages where they can do more harm to them. The Catholic Church is behind all of this. They've done away with the laws. They've changed the ordinance and broken the everlasting covenant. And because of this, the earth is defiled. The firmament is defiled. That's what your scripture says. You're getting really close to it here with these studies. I was behind you. I just push you a little further to the truth here. Well, how quickly are these populations refreshed, that is the microorganisms in the firmament? See what they're finding out? Just exactly what the scripture showed thousands of years ago. If plant pathogens are the primary type found is this basic on how easily they are launched from land subject to high winds, how consistent are these populations over time, sampling location, weather conditions, season, and so on, could be some interesting research questions which could help us to better understand our firmament. They call it environment. But look in the King James Version, you'll find the word firmament. If I didn't leave my notes somewhere, there was an interesting, really interesting thing on this Hurricane Sandy it seems like it's got people's attention, especially the meteorologists, but others too, like the scientists that's doing this research. And of course, what they were talking about in the film here, they're wanting the president to get more interested in this and to issue more money for research to find out why Sandy got so big. The hurricanes are getting so vicious now. It says, even with a week to watch and model the projected outcomes of the hurricane dubbed Sandy, which joined two other winter weather systems late yesterday to become a hybrid superstorm, now squatting over central Pennsylvania, the historic event has meteorologists marveling, it says, at its sheer size, strength, and behavior. So it takes something like this, seems like, to ever wake anyone up, and you're going to see much more research now and much more money socked into this because of this hurricane, because they know that this is just the start of it, that it's going to get worse. The meteorologist is saying this daily. Unlike Hurricane Irene, which cost $16 billion, this one has reached up to $70 billion now. The sheer size, which stretches some 1,000 miles in diameter as it swept through the East Coast, he says he says, new meteorological variables arising from warming planet. So they know what is causing this. They just don't know what is warming the planet. And we're trying to show them what is warming the planet. We have the proof. We have absolute proof. I can show it to you. Various reports have put the U.S. death toll at 33. I think it's a lot higher than that. 9-foot waves. Called a superstorm. Surge rose rode in on top of a high tide to bring water levels up to 13, almost 14 feet, smashing the records of 11 feet. There was one more thing that he, yes, here it is. Turn across western New York and into Canada towards the end of the week, the ultimate toll of the storm will likely not be known for some time, but experts have suggested that a variety of factors, including several that suggest climate change, may be playing the role. It's rather uncommon for hurricanes and with Sandy's origin to move island into the U.S. this late in the year. That's unusual. Everything is unusual about this. Meanwhile, the jet stream, the study, eastward moving air current and anadates around the northern hemisphere, including across Canada, has been losing speed. It says that loss of speed could lead to storms in east appearing to get stuck. One theory for the drop-off in jet stream speed, the steady loss of Arctic ice as a result of global warming. But there certainly is a lot of potential for climate change to affect a storm like this. If they would just read the Holy Scriptures, they would find this all forecast for them and the real cause. I want you to go over to Isaiah, the 8th chapter. What we're seeing here is, of course, the plagues. And the plagues of Revelations, called the seven last plagues by Yahweh. We want Isaiah 8, the 8th chapter. But we're seeing these plagues that was predicted. They were prophesied back in Genesis 49. We've already covered that thoroughly. And we've covered this too, but I want to point out some things before we go to Revelations. In the study of the plagues, which includes the firmament that Yahweh said would be the last warning message. Here in Isaiah 8, found on page 535, if that will help, chapter 8 and verse 20, he says, "To the law and to the prophecy, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them." Well, we know this light means understanding, wisdom that comes from the laws of Yahweh. And we know that the prophecy here they're speaking of is to show you where the message, the last warning, will come from, because there's thousands of preachers out there that are saying they're taking the message of the kingdom out to the world, and that they are taking a message of a kingdom out to the world, but it's a message of the kingdom of the Vatican that they're taking with a no law. That's exactly what Isaiah 24 shows that they would. They're taking a preaching of no law. Don't teach your children the laws of Yahweh. whatever you do, don't let them keep the laws of Yahweh. You can let them go out trick-or-treating, of course. You know, the other day, I had the Do Zone, and some preacher had a paid advertisement on there to advertise his church, and he said, in spite of the circumstances that leads up to this, that led up to the development of this holiday that we call Halloween, it's still a fun thing for the children to do. This man knows that this is an evil thing that they're doing. He knows that it's God worship. And he hinted at the fact that he knew that these were evil things that led up to this. Of course they are. They're the worship of the dead. Everything your scripture condemns is laid to rest in that death sentence that you get with practicing these satanic holidays, but they bring in billions of dollars. They were saying that this is the highest paying, holiday that they have now. It tops Christmas and Easter now. Brought in about $8 billion. This one pagan holiday brought in $8 billion, and they still didn't sell all their candy. And there was one article we were reading said the candy was being made with something being put into it, and they showed this rat that had a big tumor on its neck, and they said that they have proven that this what is going into this candy is causing this. Well, they said, us pack it up and ship it to the armed services and let them eat it there. So, or send it to the big Sandy victims and let them eat it. Well, of course, they've got to the confused point where they can't even see. I mean, well, it's got poison in it. Don't let your children eat it, but send it to somebody else. It's almost like the old tale, what you don't know won't hurt you. The woman found a rat in her butter or some rat specks in her butter, and she took it. This was a long time ago, back in the horse and buggy days. She took this block of butter to the grocery store and said, I found these rat specks in it, and I was wondering if you could exchange this and sell this to somebody else that don't know about this, because what you don't know won't hurt you. So the grocer, he took it in the back room, and he put a package around it, repackaged it, and brought it back and said, you're right, what you don't know won't hurt you. Well, that's the kind of attitude we're seeing here in this time period right here. It's just a period of confusion. But look at verse 17 now. If they're not prophesied, if a person or a group or a preacher is not prophesied to be speaking for Yahweh, to bring a message for Yahweh, there's no light in him. He's just spinning his wheels and deceiving the people. And that's what it says there in verse 20. Look back at verse 17. I will wait on Yahweh, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Well, this hiding his face from Jacob. Of course, he's speaking of the 12 tribes, which they cut Yahweh off. They cut themselves off from Yahweh. So Yahweh is not teaching them. And Yahshua said, it's not meant for them to understand right now. And it's meant for you to understand. The ones that Yahweh calls to his house. It's meant for you to understand. Look at verse 20 now. Again. So to the law and the prophecies, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. And they will pass through it, that is darkness, hard-pressed, hungry. Now, if you'll look close here, you'll start seeing the seven last plagues here. Because this chapter here is actually talking about the last prophesied work of Yahweh to bring a message about The plagues, the seven plagues, are the complete group of plagues that we're bringing forth with this changing the law, transgressing the law, changing the ordinance, breaking the everlasting covenant. We're bringing these plagues around. First in here is, of course, hunger that we're seeing now spread. And the cause of this, the cause of it, of course, is the same reason that for the climate changes that the earth is now suffering. But you're seeing these droughts spread to bring forth this plague of hunger. And it will come to pass when they are hungry, they will be enraged. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but the enragement, we had a film that we were going to show some news on that. But, you know, you could see, and I almost thought any time someone was going to pull some guns and start shooting because they couldn't get a gallon of gas or couldn't get food. And somebody was outrageous because they had several freezers full of food and they let them rot. They let them ruin, knowing the electricity was down, knowing people was needing food, but they kept thinking, well, we'll get our electricity back on, then we'll sell it to them. Well, it's too late, I guess. And of course, they found this out. Now they're wanting to leech the company hang them from a high pole, as the old Westerners did. That they will be enraged and curse their king. Today they curse the president and their gods also. And they're turning away from the Catholic Church, and I've got an article, but I don't want to take time to read it. But the Catholic Church is worried now, and they've had a big meeting to see what to do. What they did before, when they had this big meeting with Constantine, they changed the gods and said, you'll worship this one. They set death penalties and said, let's go out and take everything they got. Murder them, take everything they got. You can be rich and have all this wealth. Just join our crusade. So now we already know that Malachi Martin wrote that the Catholic Church, through Mother Mary, as they say, is going to make war against all the Muslims. Well, any fool could see that's what we're doing right now. We're making war against the Muslims. Anyone who won't worship Mary, there's war being either planned or already in stage right now, being carried out. These were prophecies. Could anyone that's listening to me prophesy what the next move would be without looking in the scripture? But we can see from the scriptures everything that's going to take place, just like the global warming, just like Hurricane Sandy. Well, they'll curse their king and look upward for help, and they will look to the earth and behold trouble and darkness. These are the plagues, gloom, anguish, and will be thrust into thick darkness. That is the darkness that comes with the hurricane. The plagues here that are shown now is the last days, the mourning. You know, the earth is mourning and fading away, as Isaiah said, and it's shown in the seven last plagues by the seventh messenger. This is what the prophecy shows, shown in the seven last plagues. These are plagues that the earth has suffered. They're just building up. And this seventh means completion, completion of these plagues. Let's go over to Revelations. But they're the strongest in these last days because we're feeding more of the same sins into the universe, into the atmosphere. So the plagues are the worst that they have been throughout any form of history. That's what the scientists and the meteorologists are saying right now. There's nothing like this in history. This is definitely a global thing, and it's getting worse. And we can see it, they say. We can see this. So give us more money to get some research done to try to find an answer, a solution to this problem we're having. Well, of course, Yahweh says that it's going to be told. And here in chapter 16, the seven plagues, the plagues that is mentioned there in Isaiah, and the one to bring it. Now, if they speak not according to the law, if they're not teaching the laws of Yahweh, if they're not prophesied to have a work at this time, there's no light in them. They can't help you. They'll lead you further into darkness. The only light on the face of the earth, brethren, is you right now. You're the light of the world. And soon, Yahweh says, the heathen will see this light. They're seeing it now a little. And he says, the heathen will see this light and they'll come to you, he said. He says, watch, they're going to come across to you. That's a prophecy. Well, in Revelations now, 16 and verse 17, he says, and the seventh Moloch poured out his bowl into the air. That's the firmament, as I showed you in the other sermon, previous sermon. And there came a great voice out of heaven saying, from the throne, saying, it is done. Comes out of heaven saying, it is done. It's finished. It's over with. If you look back to chapter 10 now, keep in mind Isaiah, what we read in Isaiah. Look at chapter 10 and verse 7. Chapter 10 and verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, when he will begin, notice, in the days of the voice, when he will begin to sound, that is to teach, the great secrets of Yahweh will be finished as he declared to his servants the prophets. They will be explained, in other words. Praise Yahweh. Now, look at verse 11, where he says, you must prophesy again before many, many peoples, nations, before nations and languages and kings. You must prophesy before them. And then the very next verse, 11:1, and there was given unto me a reed. Whoever this was has given unto me a reed like a rod. And he says, go and measure the temple. And then he says, but the outer court, verse 2, leave out, measure it not, for it's given to the heathen. And they will trample it underfoot for 42 years. And I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices. So we know that the seventh Moloch here is actually one of the two witnesses. And they will foretell. They will foretell. You got that? They will teach this about this 1,260 days, those cast about with darkness. These are, as it were, the two olive trees, and as it were, the two lampstands. So he tells you right here, in no uncertain terms, who they are. Now, go to page class 2. Let me get my other card. If you go over to Revelations now, 21. Revelations 21, we see this present day. Revelations 21. Now remember the plagues. You remember what was reading a while ago in Isaiah. Y'all listening to me now? Isaiah 8, you remember that, the plagues I was showing you? Now look at Revelations 21. Revelations 21. And let's start here with verse 1. He said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Well, of course, that's coming. And you can be a part of rebuilding this new heaven and new earth. You can be a part of it. That's what Yahweh calls you for. You actually have that opportunity if you will just pay attention and get these messages. Study them. Don't just listen to it and go off and leave it. Take it home with you. Study it till you can see and put these together and know that a great super mind had these inspired. If you remember what I brought you on that, the prophets, many of them lived thousands of years apart, but they prophesied about the same things, they taught the same things, and had no idea what the previous prophets had ever taught. But they were prophesied, they brought to law and so forth. And they added bits and pieces to this, here a little and there a little. And when Yahweh inspires you to put this together, then you can see the plan of Yahweh. And until Yahweh reveals that plan, they have no light in them. That means they cannot reveal that plan. It's that simple. That's the reason you don't see it preached anywhere else except the house of Yahweh. Well, in chapter 21 now, in verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This we're going to do. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. That is, all the activities set up by sin, as you'll see this, if you'll understand that. Sin is going to be taken away from this earth. And everything that, praise Yahweh, and everything that sin caused is going to be cleaned up and put back in order. All the plagues that we're seeing right now on the earth is caused by sin. Not the burning of coal and wood and oil, but sin. And sin is the transgression of the laws of Yahweh. It's that simple, and it's provable now. All they need is just a little more money to sock into this. They already got a bunch of it proven already, the science said. But notice, and there was no more sea, that is, no more divided languages and deception of sin. And I, Yochanan now, who was the recorder here, saw the holy city, Yahweh Shammai, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and Yahweh himself will be with them and be their father. And Yahweh will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying from these plagues, nor crying, nor will there be any more pain," notice, "pain, for the former things are passed away." If you look back to verse 1, you'll see the new heaven and the new earth is actually just a cleaning up of what sin has caused here, as is shown. The plagues has caused, as you see there in verse 4. The former things have passed away. So we'll in teaching the laws of Yahweh, as you will see, that's how it's going to be brought about. That's how it's being brought about at this time. We're cleaning up, restoring the old waste places, as I showed you week before last. And he who sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Make them new again. He made them new to begin with. We are going to restore them to their newness, taking away all the trouble, all the wreckage that sin has done. Yes. There'll be no more plagues after we get this cleaned up, because we then will watch and guard and keep it in order, as Genesis shows. make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and correct. So Yochanan was writing them for us today. And he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Tau, the beginning and the end. I will give to him who thirsts of the fountain of the waters, of the fountain of the waters of life freely. Now get this next part here. You can't make it unless you do this. And you can't do it unless you learn Yahweh's word and apply it in your lives and practice it. He who overcomes. Praise Yahweh. Now, you know, we got a Catholic church that leads all the world today, and they're saying, no more laws, don't practice the laws. They put death penalties for it, then finally destroyed the Holy Scriptures completely. All they could find, had book burnings of all kinds, killed the parents, took the children, retaught them, and of course sent them out into a blind world to work for their corporations to bring in wealth and so forth. Well, here now, Yeshua is saying, in a time period now, this right here was written in 96 A.D. Have you got that? 96 A.D. It was written at that time. Now, shortly after that, Yeshua had prophesied and said, they're going to kill you. They're going to pursue you from city to city. Well, of course, the roaming army, that's exactly what they did. The Crusades, the Inquisitions, they're still going on today. They're still in the court system today. They're still having the Inquisitions today, and it's legalized in the land of America. I'm sad to say, but it's still going on, and it's still led by the Catholic Church, and anyone they want to put out of business, they will do so. They can. They have it in their power. Get some false witnesses, file false charges, harass that man, blackmail him till he gives up and goes. That's how they do it. It's being done all over America. Believe me, as the scripture says, there is no justice in this world. But here he says, he who overcomes. Well, of course you've got to have teaching to overcome. You can't overcome without a preacher, Yeshua said. You got to hear. And you can't hear without a preacher. But if they come not being prophesied, they can't teach because there's no light in them. They have no light to teach. They have no knowledge from Yahweh to teach you. Remember all of that. Now, picture a world shortly after Yeshua, when all the ones that followed him, or at least the biggest part of them, were hunted down, killed, and led into Babylon for reteaching, if they would be taught, if they would eat pork, of course. That was the deciding factor. Eat pork and we'll accept you as one of ours. And you can go out and we'll give you a job and you can work and earn your pay and pay your taxes and pay your tithe to the headquarters. But they destroyed the scriptures, made it against the law to own scripture. So how could this possibly come about here, that in the last days, this total message is going to be caught to all nations and renew the whole earth? Yes. Well, think about it. No Bibles. You couldn't own a Bible. The Catholic Church was the only ones that could own them legally. And yet Yahweh says, in the last days, I'm going to establish my house, and it's going to teach this message of the prophets. Of the prophets to all the world. Now that is quite a thing, considering he doesn't have a Bible to teach from. You think about it. Not even a manuscript could be on. If they caught you keeping, if they caught you celebrating the Holy Sabbath, that was a death sentence, a death penalty. This is what our forefathers went through. This is why they fled Europe trying to stop the persecution that is still going on in the United States. Why do you think they destroyed the Branch Davidians? The man used the name Yahweh. He thought he was keeping the feast of Yahweh. It's still going on today. Before that, there was another group. I forget the name of them. But the FBI shot the baby in the mother's arms as she was holding the baby, standing in the door, seeing what the dog was barking at. They also killed the dog, and then they shot her too. In Europe, they would round these people up with their roaming army. They would go out, search the countrysides, find a peaceful community, and they would take it. And they would take the people to Rome, march them to Rome, where they would teach them their literature. Daniel was one of those people. If you'll just read the story about Daniel was one of those people that was taken captive. The great prophet Daniel was one of those people, peaceful community, taken from Israel, taken captive. And the king said, bring me some of the best young men in this bunch, ones that can study and learn quickly, and let me put them to work in my kingdom to improve it. And Daniel wrote for us, this is how Yahweh can work through you right now, if you just pay attention. He who overcomes, look at that again. Read it for yourself. He who overcomes will inherit all things. And I will be his father, and he will be my son. How far do I want to go here? How far can I go? Where can I shut off right here? Let's read this next one, then we'll start up next week, maybe on the other one. Notice here, he's going to let you be a part of his kingdom, inherit this great kingdom that is going to actually rebuild the earth. Now, the prophecies that I mentioned, how can it be taught without it being in your hand? It can't. The Holy Scriptures that Yahweh had inspired his prophets to write, it was destroyed, totally, almost totally destroyed. No one could own a copy. And yet Yahweh prophesied that in the last days, he would start a house. He would reestablish his house, and it was going to teach all the words of the prophets. We just read them. Go back through your notes and read them again and see what the prediction that is. He's actually going to reteach this whole thing to the people. And it's going to be finished. Chapter 16, we just read it. It's going to be done in this time period by someone called the two witnesses, who are the two lampstands and the two olive trees. And one of them, Yahshua, Yahweh himself, refers to him as the seventh and last one. The seventh and last one that's going to take this message out. And this was all prophesied and brought about step by step until the Bible's brought back in to where that person could own a Bible and actually read and study that Bible. That's what Yahweh has brought about in this time period. You wouldn't have a book of Yahweh in front of you had Yahweh not made the plans in advance. No one could own one. It was a death penalty, and they were very joyous to pass that death penalty out, take all your possessions and to themselves. Now that's what the world has come through up until my time period. And very shortly before my time period, Yahweh prophesied and gave us a date when he would start bringing about the Bible again. Yes, it's all prophesied. It even gives you the exact day that you could look for. Is that interesting to you? Verse 8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, which is shown in chapter 17, abominations is being brought forth by the Catholic Church, has been all the days of its life. Abominable, the murderers. they swing a big sword today with their voice in Washington. They carry a lot of votes. And the politicians, some of them are afraid of these people and say, oh yeah, I support killing babies. Of course, come on, let's make it even more where they don't even have to tell their parents. Just go to the doctor and have him killed and he'll take care of the dead body and you can come on back home and never will have to reveal that you murdered your baby. Well, there's a huge group that wants to do this. And of course the politicians don't want to fool with them. They don't want to say, no, I don't agree with it. Because all them votes would be taken away from them if they did. And there's a huge amount of people that believe in that. Huge amount of people that believe in sodomy and murder and whoremongers. The whoremongers, it covers that. The sorceries, that's the pharmaceuticals. And worshipers of gods going on all over the world. Worshipers of gods. Halloween. Well, I don't know, he says. Regardless of all these bad circumstances from which this day comes. Well, what are these bad circumstances? The Catholic Church, the Egyptians before that, they said the Pharaoh could give you life. He could answer your prayers, and after you die, he'll bring you to heaven to live with him. Yes. And then the Catholic Church, well, the forefathers before Yahshua in Jeremiah and Isaiah, when they died, they deified them. What do they do to the popes today? They deify them. They call them saints. And of course, they say you can pray to these now. Go to their grave and pray to them. And they have all these sites where you go to pray. And they have many of them in Israel, many of them in Rome. And people travel there to pray to one of those graves. Of course, it's like talking to a stone. You're not going to there. It's not going to hear you. But that's what they fall for. Well, the people are saying the churches don't have the answers anymore. The Catholic Church don't have the answer. So we're seeing a turn now towards restoring this earth, making all things new. Well, he says that you're, this is not going to be there much longer. All Lars will have their part in the lake of fire, in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Second death. Because you live once, you die, then you're resurrected. If you died, you'll be resurrected. In fact, you'll have the power. Everyone sitting here will have that power, Yahweh willing, very soon. I'm ready to see this world end and with all of its trouble and sorrow. It's not going to go much longer. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!